This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to the Pride in Practice Conference podcast, produced by Joy, Australia's rainbow community media organisation. As many members of the LGBTQIA plus community know, a safe and inclusive workplace can change their life. To find an organisation where you feel comfortable to be yourself, feel supported by your team, and most importantly, feel celebrated. That's what the Pride in Practice Conference is all about. Showcasing best practice for creating an inclusive workplace where all LGBTQ plus people can thrive. Today, our host Jordan will be chatting to two of Australia's biggest companies who have large workforces in metropolitan, regional and rural Australia, Coles and Woolworths. Some see them as competitors, but when it comes to the issue of LGBTQ plus workplace inclusion, they're both doing incredible things to make their workplace inclusive for everyone and have collaborated on many initiatives. From Coles, Jordan will be chatting to Genevieve Hawkins and Robert Moore. And from Woolies, he'll be chatting to Nick Hennessy and Josh Sully. They will be sharing how they have helped to create a space where marginalised communities, and particularly those employees who are not based in a city location, can feel safe and supported.
Joining me from Woolworths is Nick Hennessy and Josh Sully. Nick uses she, her pronouns, is a proud bisexual woman, and she is the inclusion partner and co-chair of Proud at Woolworths Group. She also hosts an LGBTQIA plus podcast for Woolworths. Josh uses he, him pronouns and is a proud gay man. He is the store services assistant at Woolies in Childers, Queensland. He's also a regional events squad member of the Proud Committee. Nick and Josh, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Exciting to be here.
Thanks for having us, Jordan.
My pleasure. Now, Josh, I might start with you. Where did you grow up?
So I actually grew up in the little country town of Childers, which is about 3.5 hours north of Brisbane.
Wow. So you grew up there and you've stayed. You've stayed put.
I did leave and come back.
Yeah, but, do a bit of exploring.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a bit of self-discovery, a bit of exploring of the world, but I did come home, yes.
There's no place like home. When you are out loud and proud, as we say here at Joy, when did you first come out?
Yeah, so I think everyone's coming out story is a bit of a journey, and I think mine started when I was about 18. So I initially came out as bisexual. Until I moved to Sydney for uni, and then my identity changed and I actually came out as a full gay man once I moved down to Sydney.
Right. And so how old were you?
Oh, 18 at the time.
Great. Yeah. Who was the first person that you told?
Initially, the first person I told was, funny enough, my psychologist. It was a safe space without judgment for me, and it afforded me that opportunity to find some self-discovery, which, you know, in hindsight, I was really grateful for. But the first meaningful person that I told, which I say is my first person, is my mum. So that was an emotional time for us, but it definitely think it cemented the relationship we have now. And after that was my closest friend. So my mum to me is the first person I told.
Wow. And that's big. I feel like, coming out to your parents, that's one of the scariest things you have to do. How did she take it when you came out to her?
It was, the best way to describe it was emotional.
Yeah.
Mum was very worried, obviously coming from a small country town, and for herself growing up in a regional town, she was worried about what happened to me as I grow up and grow into my career and grow up as a person. So once we talked through some of those concerns, I think it then just turned into I have an awesome son and I love him and that's all that matters. So experience was unique to us.
Beautiful. Where were you? So when you came out, where were you working at the time?
Funny enough, I was working at Woolies.
You were? So, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Great. When did you first come out at work? Did you tell anyone to begin with? Did you keep it on the down low?
I think I never really officially came out in my first job at Woolworths. It was, you know, I was off to uni at the end of the year, so I didn't really care. However, being from a small town, it was definitely implied. Like, I wore makeup to work. It was, I thought I should have built a career in makeup artistry, I think. But, I wore makeup to work in a small town. I adored Beyonce. I definitely wasn't the average, you know, farmer's son, or, you know, as, you know, an average person for the area that, in the community that I was living in. So, I didn't officially come out, but being a small town, I came out to my close friends, and they worked at Woolworths as well. So the rumor mill starts, and it just, you know, everyone finds out, or it becomes an implied thing. So, that was my experience at work.
Wow. But I mean, by the sounds of it, the fact that you were able to be so comfortable and wear makeup at work, it sounds like that it was a pretty, despite being in a small town, that overall it was a pretty like accepting place for you.
Yeah, look, I really felt supported. I look back and reflect now, and the store manager I had and the HR manager that I had at the store were both from Sydney. So funny enough, they were both quite supportive, and I actually felt they took me under their wing, and it set the tone for the store. So that allowed me to be who I was without having that pressure of coming out and saying I'm gay. And that allowed me to be, you know, celebrate and be unique in who I was during that discovery period, so I could do that in a safe space. So yes, I think my experience was really, really positive. Yes, there were some negatives. You know, I had, you know, customer experience that wasn't so positive. But having a team behind me, I knew that I could be who I was, and afforded me that opportunity to be safe in a safe space, in, you know, in that environment.
Totally, and that's a beautiful thing to be in a small town. I mean, like, I feel growing up in a small town, there wouldn't be much representation around you. You get scared as well. You get scared, especially in, you know, regional and rural Australia. There is quite a bit of homophobia, and that might just be due to the fact that, you know, they're not as exposed as us who live in metropolitan areas. But yeah, that's really beautiful that, you know, everyone there really made you feel safe and comfortable and supported.
Yeah, I feel very grateful for that experience too, because you're right, there is a lot of people who don't have positive experiences, and who also hold quite negative views or experiences about regional Australia, I should say, or in regional areas. So for me to have this experience was fortunate. And don't get me wrong, there were some really challenging days in this space, but as an overall, I feel my experience has been quite positive, and it's something that I aim to deliver for the next generation of, you know, people who are part of the community coming through, so that they have that safe space. Because I feel a lot of people in our community also come from regional areas. So if I can help create that safer space for them while during my time here, then it's something positive I've done back for our community, but also positive I've done back for their experience and their life.
Oh, that's lovely. You're paying it forward. Passing it on, being a role model. Yeah.
That's the goal.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Thanks, Josh. Nick, I want to chat to you a little bit as well. So we've heard a bit about Josh on his experiences starting work at Woolworths and feeling safe enough to be, you know, be himself. But I want to hear about a bit more about the work that Woolworths has done in the back end to kind of make it a really safe and inclusive space. When did you first start working for Woolies?
So I was a bit of a, I guess, like a late starter. A lot of our team members at Woolies have fabulous long-term careers of, you know, 30, 40 years. For me, I didn't start with Woolies until 2018. So I'm coming up to my 4-year anniversary with Woolies next year, actually.
Wow. And you are a proud bisexual woman. Did you come out at work, or was it kind of similar to Josh where, you know, your friends started to find out and it just spread?
Well, it's an interesting story. So I didn't come out until I was in my late 20s. And that was when I was actually working for my previous company, so the company I was at before Woolies. And obviously now that I'm out, it's completely obvious to me that I have always been bi my whole life. But I guess I never really acknowledged that or paid attention to that until later in my life. And I think, you know, that's probably for a couple of reasons, a bit of ingrained biphobia, a lack of visibility of bi role models. And so for me, I guess that's why it is so important for me to be more visible and to be a bit of a role model in whatever ways I can, because that wasn't available to me when I was younger. And so, you know, being a bi person didn't seem like I could be a bi person. I didn't even know what a bi person was.
Yeah, yeah. And I mentioned before, so you are you're the inclusion partner and co-chair of Proud at Woolworths Group. Can you give me a bit of a breakdown on what Proud is?
Yeah, awesome. Of course I can. So Proud is our, so full title, Proud at Woolworths Group is our LGBTQ plus employee network, or some people may know it as an employee resource group. And that was founded in 2016, actually, by two graduates in our business. So really was a grassroots movement by LGBTQ plus people for LGBTQ plus people. And so those two graduates recognized that they're, you know, wasn't a lot of activity happening in the LGBTQ plus inclusion space, and realized there was really a gap in the market and wanted to do something about it. So that's what they did. They started Proud, and they got the Proud Employee Resource Group endorsed by the board and the CEO for it to be, I guess, an official movement at Woolworths. And we're really lucky that one of the co-founders of Proud, Chelsea McPhail-Rosenberg, is still working for Woolworths today and is still a part of the Proud committee.
It sounds like an incredible program there. And so obviously that's a really great resource for people who are working at Woolies. Since you started working there in 2018, what have you kind of brought to the Proud at Woolworths Group program? And, you know, how are you trying to help make it a really inclusive place for everyone?
Yeah, so I guess one of the reasons that I actually joined Woolworths was because of all the work that was being done in the LGBTQ plus inclusion space. And so really, I guess you could say the reason that I joined Woolworths was because of Proud, because Proud kind of operates, I guess, in a non-traditional way for an employee resource group. Really, the Proud committee and the leadership team of the Proud committee sets the LGBTQ plus inclusion strategy for Woolworths. And so they're really one of the main reasons that we've been able to achieve our gold AWEI status and now a platinum qualifiers in that space. So really that's why I wanted to join. I got, you know, very much enticed by Proud. And once I settled into my role, I quickly, you know, put my feelers out and asked if I could join the Proud committee. And then not long after, I sort of stepped up into the role of being a co-chair. So I think I've been co-chair of the Proud committee for over a year now. And yeah, so now that we are a platinum qualifying business, we are about to kind of head into our year of working on our platinum project for the AWEI. And for us, that's about, we're going to be focusing on intersectional LGBTQ plus people in the Greater Western Sydney area, where we know it's really highly culturally diverse. So I guess our AWEI Platinum Project will be focused on the experience of intersectional culturally diverse LGBTQ plus people within Woolies and within the broader community as well.
Wow, that is an amazing project to kind of dive into as well, because I think that's such an important thing to cover, because there are so many people in, you know, so many intersections of our wonderful rainbow community. So it's great that there's going to be that support there. Josh, I did want to quickly jump back to you as well. So you are, you're part of the regional event squad for Proud. What does that kind of entail for you?
It's exciting part of the Proud committee, because it gives us that opportunity to, one, showcase Woolworths in our regional areas, but also showcase the inclusion part of Woolworths in our regional areas. So with this, we recently just had our Pride March in Brisbane, which just went through. So organising and coordinating that in partnership with Matt, who's our chapter lead, making sure that we're actually showcasing the diverse community that we are to the broader community as an overall.
Wonderful. Gosh, it sounds like you're both doing such amazing work around Australia and Woolworths in general as well. Nick, I've got one final question for you, because obviously this podcast episode is for the Pride in Practice conference. And, you know, they really champion inclusion and diversity in the workplace, which it really sounds like both you and Josh and Woolworths in general are doing. And Woolies has been involved in it a couple years now. Why do you think it's so important for Woolies to participate?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of, I guess, motivating factors to be a part of the conference. For us, I guess it's just another way that we can showcase what we're doing at Woolworths in the LGBTQ plus inclusion space, which is just incredibly important. Because as you mentioned, we're doing so much and we're really passionate about making sure that LGBTQ plus people, whether you work for us or whether you're a customer, feel really safe and included in our spaces, particularly in regional communities. We have, you know, 1,000 stores in Australia alone, which means that we touch, you know, nearly every part of Australia. And so we want as many people as possible to know of the work that we're doing in the LGBTQ plus inclusion space, because, you know, we know that a large section of the population, and even more so in Gen Z, identify as LGBTQ plus. And we want people to know that Woolworths is a place that you can work and Woolworths is a place that you can shop if you identify as LGBTQ plus and you will feel safe and included. So it's important for us to let people know that. And we think that participating in the conference is a way that we can do that. I also think it's a great way that we can share with our other organizations what we're doing. So, you know, sometimes we're in hot competition with our frenemies that we call, you know, I like to call our frenemies who we're sharing this podcast with. But, you know, when it comes to the LGBTQ plus inclusion space, the more people that are doing things in this space, the better it is for the good of the community. So we're actually happy to share what we're doing in this space so that, you know, potentially other people and other organizations can learn and can implement similar practices within their own business. And then again, we just like to be a part of it because it's an opportunity for us to learn as well. So, yeah, it serves a couple of purposes. I love attending over the 3 days to get inspired and to hear from other businesses what they're doing to inspire us. And I hope that, you know, other businesses and organizations get that from us as well.
And as you said, it shouldn't be a competition. Everyone should be working together for the same goal of making the world a safe, inclusive space for everyone. So it's wonderful the work that you and Woolies and Coles and everyone else at the conference is doing. Now, if people do want to find out more specifically about Woolies and specifically about Proud at Woolworths Group, is there somewhere they can go if, you know, someone just wants to do a bit of research and find out more on what you're doing, or if someone might even want to get involved at Woolies?
Yeah, I think from an external point of view, the best place to find out what's going on within, I guess, the broader inclusion agenda at Woolworths is to follow us on LinkedIn. So we have our Woolworths Group LinkedIn and we have our Woolworths Supermarket LinkedIn and our Big W LinkedIn, which are our two big customer brands. Mm-hmm. So please follow us on LinkedIn and you can see what we're doing in this space and how we're celebrating our team and our customers in the inclusion realm. If you are an internal team member who happens to be listening to this podcast, please connect with us in terms of our Proud website. So we have a Proud internal website and we have our Proud Google Currents community where all of our network comes together. So if you're not already, please reach out to us through those platforms and we'd love to have you join the Proud crowd, as we say.
Proud crowd. Oh, I love it. I love it. Awesome. Nick Hennessy, Josh Sully from Woolworths. Thank you both so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
Great.
Our pleasure.
Joining me today from Coles is Genevieve Hawkins, who uses she, her pronouns. Genevieve is a general manager of Coles and is the executive co-sponsor of Pride at Coles. She is also the proud parent of a wonderful trans son. And also joining me is Robert Moore. Robert uses he, him pronouns and is a proud gay man. He is a regional manager of Coles and the Victorian Pride Network lead. Genevieve and Robert, thank you so much for joining me today. Robert, I might start with you. Let's go way back. Whereabouts did you grow up?
There's two answers to that question. So I grew up in a district in country Victoria outside of Colac. And then I moved to East Melbourne to start high school.
And what age did you first come out as gay?
I came out at 16.
And where were you working at the time? I guess at 16, did you even have a job then?
Yeah. So I started work when I was 15 with another major retailer.
Whose name we shall not mention. But did you, at the time, did you come out at work or was it pretty, still pretty early on in your coming out journey?
Look, to be honest, I was quite open at the age of 16 and felt really comfortable with the working group that I had. So, yeah, I pretty much came out straight away to my working team members.
That's great that you felt comfortable enough to be out and open at work. Was it something that when you started work that you told people, or was it, you know, did you tell one person and then, you know, the rumor mill starts and gossip spreads and then everyone knows.
Look, I was lucky enough to have, there was a department manager at the store that I was working in who was out openly gay. So I was actually able to confide in him and, you know, he was a good, I guess, role model to look up to as somebody, you know, that was out and being himself, and it made me feel really comfortable to do so as well.
Yeah, of course. I guess that's why it's so important to have people, you know, a diverse range of people in any organization so that there are anyone who starts can go, wow, I can see myself in someone else. I know that they identify the same ways that I do or have the same background and, you know, you feel comfortable enough to be able to come out and be yourself. And when did you start working at Coles?
I joined Coles in 2013, so just on 8 years ago.
Great. So 8 years. And I'm guessing, was it a similar experience when you moved to Coles? Were you very open about your identity?
Yeah, look, I'd been out for, you know, over 10 years at that stage. And over the years, I've learnt that being, you know, my authentic self is great for me and also the people around me in a work capacity to, you know, to be myself means that I'm comfortable and in those interactions and that hopefully those around me are comfortable to do so as well.
Now, I will come back to you, Robert, and I want to chat a bit about your work as a part of the Victorian Pride Network. But Genevieve, I'd love to chat a bit about you. Before we chat about your Coles journey, you are the proud parent of a trans son. Tell me a bit about him.
He is a legend, Jordan. So absolutely loving to bits. So he is 18 and he is just, in fact, I can't say he's finished VCE yet because he has one more exam to go, but he's finishing up this week. So he's about to finish VCE and he is an amazing kid. And yeah, look, he's been doing theatre and music stuff and he's actually got early entry offers for 3 different music degrees for next year, which is awesome. Wow. So I'm so excited about what he has to offer the world and can't wait to see him continue to grow.
Amazing. And so you said he's 18 now. When did he first come out to you?
Do you know, it's a really interesting question because I'm embarrassed to say that there were so many signs of him coming out per se in him growing up that because I didn't know or really understand anything about what it meant to be transgender that I didn't actually pick up some of those signals. And so it was actually at the age of 14 that we had a conversation, the two of us, in which he ended up looking at me and go, I actually think I'm transgender. Once we sort of come to kind of process that and accept that, we were kind of looking at each other going, or my husband and I were looking at each other going, of course he is. Like, let's have a look at all of these signs all the way along that we just didn't quite pick up because that just wasn't in our language or understanding.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, before he came out to you, were you an ally of the rainbow community? You know, was that something that you were engaging in or was it very new territory for you?
So I think it was new territory, but it wasn't that I wasn't an ally, but I probably never called myself that, I think I would say. Mm. So I would sit there and go, I'd always felt, because I was already I'd been in a number of different leadership roles by that stage, that I was certainly conscious of making sure that we'd always create an inclusive environment and I'd had good friends that were gay and that sort of stuff. So I kind of was in a broader you know, we want to make sure it's a welcome community, but I didn't really understand, I really didn't fully understand everything that people faced and I certainly didn't understand the concept of that from a transgender perspective. So it was in my son, in recognising that my son was transgender, was kind of that pivotal moment of going, I really want to play a role here because the community needs more allies.
Totally. I mean, and what a great learning experience for you. I imagine that your son has taught you a lot and particularly the importance of being an ally. Now, how long have you been working at Coles for?
I have to stop and think about that. Mid-2014 I joined Coles.
Okay, so about a little over seven years now. When you started at Coles, was there much as far as inclusive practices go? I know that you are the co-sponsor of the Pride at Coles program. Was that something that existed when you arrived?
So I think if you go back to say, was Coles, you know, clear on trying to create an inclusive environment, I think that's been something that's been around for a long time. We're very much within the broader community of Australia. We want to, you know, we're kind of like family oriented despite the sheer size that we are. But the concept of an organised piece for Pride was not something that was very strong. And I got involved, and so, in fact, my boss at the time, I was sharing with her my experience with my son and what was going on, and that was around the time that we were in the middle of the marriage equality vote, which obviously was a fairly traumatic time for a lot of people. And it was a bit of a challenging time within Coles in this whole debate of do we stand up as an organisation and support? What do we do, et cetera? And so she approached me to go, I know what you're processing through with your son, but how do you feel about actually getting involved and being a sponsor for Pride? And I just jumped in straight away and went, of course I'm going to be involved. And it's really grown. So I think that the marriage equality vote was a platform, if you like, from which we could really start a whole other different conversation. And I've seen it grow from strength to strength over these last few years.
Well, that's really lovely, Genevieve. I mean, it sounds like you're absolutely loving the work that you're doing at Coles as far as for Pride at Coles. But outside of that, what is Coles doing to help make their workplace safe and inclusive for LGBTQIA plus communities and other marginalised communities in general?
Yeah, if I talk about other marginalised communities and then talk about some specific things, and in fact, actually, really, some of this is not unique to the Pride space. We have an overarching program of Better Together in which we are looking at a range of different things that we want to do to create a sense of belonging for all. And if I look at it from a Pride perspective, particularly because where we started with our space, we're going, there are three big things that we should be thinking about. One is, what are the general signals that we give out to people to say this is a welcoming place? Two, how do we promote and make sure that people can see people like them in senior roles? And three, how do we make sure it's really clear if you're not sure you need some support or guidance, where do you go? So there's been a whole lot of work that we've done from a Pride perspective around the rainbow, and it's become, for me, such a symbol of broader inclusion. So we encourage our team members to wear the rainbow on their badge. We have, we've rolled out through Liquor and Express, and we're about to roll out through supermarkets, the You're Welcome Here stickers to put across all of the stores. As I understand it, I think we're their largest organisation to have put out, like I think we've got 1,600 sites so far that have got the rainbow Welcome Here at the front door. And so they're the kind of, I'm going to say they're the little things, but they're the big things that the community response, both from our customers and our team, about just that rainbow being visible is phenomenal. But it also goes back to, you know, what are our policies and procedures? And are they written in the right way that shows inclusive language? And Pride and Diversity have been fantastic in challenging people around how do you look at all of those sorts of things. We do really make sure that we integrate stories about people who are in various different senior roles so that people, again, can see people from their community. And the network from Pride point of view is an incredibly important part that Rob can talk a lot more about. But that sense of within each state, people have got people I can reach out to and get support from.
Wow. It really sounds like you're doing incredible work. And it sounds like it's all very well thought and very planned out. I think there might be a lot of people out there who might think, as far as inclusion goes, great, let's do a 3-hour session. That's it. Now let's move on. And we're inclusive now. Here's a rainbow sticker. But it really is so much more than that. It is ongoing education. It is even a rainbow sticker at the front of a shop so that someone who's walking in goes, wow, okay, that's me. I feel accepted there. That's really lovely. And Robert, so I mentioned before, you are the Victorian Pride Network lead, and Genevieve mentioned there as well a bit about the Pride Network. Can you explain to me a bit about what that entails?
Yeah, so Jen touched on it earlier that, you know, our ambition is for everybody to feel a sense of belonging when they come to work. And, you know, the team member-led Pride Network is another way that we can do that. So, you know, myself and one other team member lead up the Victorian cohort, and it's a way that we can connect as a community and offer support for those who want to find like-minded team members and be a part of initiatives locally based. So for us in Victoria, and how can we be involved in, you know, outfacing celebrations like Midsummer and, you know, supporting grassroots sort of charity events and really make a difference for the community around us, but then also supporting each other in our team member networks. So, you know, something that I've seen evolve and, you know, the business is really leveraging our team member networks is the likes of embedding team member stories and experiences in our learning modules. It was really great. Some of the network team members were able to tell their story to help, you know, our people leaders within the business know what to look out for team members who are in, you know, groups like Pride. It's really exciting that, you know, we can have that sort of sway on a business as big as Coles.
Yeah. And I think, as you said there, sharing personal stories, I think that's such an important part of education in any sense, I guess, because you can throw up stats, you can throw up information, but if someone's able to be there and say, you know, here is my story, here are my feelings, here is how I came out, here is who I am, it's a much better way to help educate, because then it's really, you're really connecting with people. And look, the Pride in Practice Conference does champion inclusion and diversity in the workplace. And Coles has participated a couple of years now, haven't they?
We have. In fact, I think this is our third year coming up now.
Well, why does Coles keep coming back to the Pride in Practice Conference? Why do you think it's so important to participate?
Look, I think it's actually on two layers. Recognising that I think all of us are continuing to learn on an ongoing basis. It's a lifelong journey, I think, of how do you create a sense of belonging with everyone else and understand everyone's different people's experiences. And so from my perspective, in the encouragement for us to participate in the conference is twofold. One is we actually have an enormous amount of experiences that we can share with others just because of the sheer size of the organisation that we are, and therefore the sorts of experiences that we've got across our team member base. So when we can share stories, that really helps others to learn from that. But also we recognise that we don't have all the answers. And it's incredible to sit and listen to other people and what they share of their experiences to come away with either reassurance that some of the stuff we're doing is good because other people are doing it as well, or getting that nugget of something that is just different that you go, oh, I hadn't actually thought about that. So I think it's an incredible opportunity. And I do think so. In fact, this conference, myself and my counterpart at Woolworths are actually doing a combined talk together. And I think that's really significant where you go, here are two adversaries from a business point of view, and we're pretty fierce adversaries, Coles and Woolworths, but that we recognise that this issue transcends any of that type of competition. And so the two of us together are having a conversation about what it takes as leaders to really make a difference in this world.
That's amazing. I didn't realise Coles and Woolies were going to do a discussion together. And it's something that I discussed with the team at Woolies as well, is that, you know, people might see Coles and Woolworths as, you know, competing brands, which I guess to a certain extent you are. But when it comes to this stuff, it's not a competition. It should be a collaboration with all people to, you know, engage and learn and share ideas and share stories, that so we can all make sure that we're creating a safe and inclusive space. It shouldn't be I'm the most inclusive. It should be, you know, let me share my practices with you so hopefully you can be inclusive as well. Look, if people do want to find out a bit more about what Coles is doing as far as inclusion and diversity, is there somewhere specific that they can go to find more information?
There's a few probably different things. One is that from an official external point of view, we produce a sustainability report each year and we talk about Better Together within that. So that sense of our approach to diversity and inclusion, what we're doing, we provide information within that. I'd also encourage people to then say, again, from an external point of view, you can look into things like LinkedIn and you'll see periodic posts that we will do explaining various different things that we're doing in that space, or come along to the Pride and Practice Conference because you'll find out things there. And then people usually experience that bit more when they are being recruited in or when they join the organisation to find out a bit more about that team member experience.
Wonderful. Well, Genevieve Hawkins and Robert Moore, thank you both so, so much for having a chat to me today.
It was wonderful to chat, Jordan. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to the Pride in Practice podcast. Remember, the 2021 Pride in Practice conference runs from the 22nd to the 24th of November. And if you're tuning in after the conference and want more info on future events, visit prideinpractice.com.au.
This podcast was produced in collaboration with Joy, Australia's rainbow community media organisation. For more information on Joy and our services, visit joy.org.au. That's joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.